Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, I'm back. I'm Chef Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper. I'm a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education. And most importantly, I am the host of the Wild Game Domain, From the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. Welcome back. Brand new season. I'm really excited. No guests today, but I know how to use Google Doc now, and that's a big deal. Me. Next week, we're going to have a high-speed guest. Can't wait to talk to you guys about that. I'll fill you in at the end of the show. Today, I am going to fill a half hour of the Wild Game Domain with negativity, because that's what I do. I try to be positive. I do. And then you people, the rest of the human race, break me down, including my wife, my children, and the people of Bushwick, because you don't know how to park. You're not nice to other people. I see cars parked with at least 4.5 feet between each car. Now, you do realize we live in a congested city. Pull up a little bit. I know it might be a little inconvenient. You have to back and forth a couple of times, turn the wheel. But think about someone else for once. That's what I do. I live my whole life walking around in complete awareness of my surroundings. And you know what I think that comes from? I think it comes from being an outdoorsman. I do. Because when I am out in the woods, I have complete awareness of the environment that I'm in. And I think a lot of people from Brooklyn lack this skill set. And guess what, people of Brooklyn? You know what? Not the people of Brooklyn. People of America. You lack this awareness because you don't get off your asses and you don't experience the great outdoors. Your primal instincts are still in you somewhere. Why don't you embrace them? You go to your Pilates, you go to your yoga, you got to get to work, I got to get on the L train, I'm running around. Relax. Listen to the birds. Look at the pigeons. Even here, in the deepest, darkest parts of Brooklyn, there is wildlife surrounding us. Enjoy it a little bit and relax and get in touch with your primal instincts. And I think that'll make society better. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. That was just my little vent to get my head straight, because I left 2 hours early to get here so I could be prepared for the show, go over my notes, and do a great job. Unfortunately, I just walked through the door. I'm sweating. I'm aggravated. But we're going to do a good show. And it kind of fits because, like I said, today's show, we're going to start the whole new season of the Wild Game Domain with negativity. Negativity. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. The big boss is in there, some new lady, Nancy, and they're all looking at me like I'm a little crazy. But we are going to talk about the demise of the white-tailed deer population in this country. And specifically, we're going to talk about something called CWD, or chronic wasting disease. I have mentioned it a few times on shows here or there, but now we're going to iron it out and make sure, going into this really beautiful part of the year, the fall, we have a complete understanding as outdoorsmen, hunters, conservationists, whatever we want to call ourselves. Sustainable hunters. We need to understand this chronic wasting disease. I don't know if the problem's getting any bigger. For a while, it was the talk of the town, especially in the hunting community. Everyone was talking about it, and And then it kind of went away for a while. And leading up to this hunting season, which thank the Almighty, starts October 1st, I'm itching and I'm twitching. I can't stand it waiting for October 1st to come. I've been hearing a lot more talk through the circles, on some of the blogs, you know, just on the internet, of chronic wasting disease, especially here in New York. I have a buddy in West New York state, and there's been a lot of talk up there of the Department of Environmental Control identifying some deer with chronic wasting disease. I haven't seen anything official, but there's a video on YouTube from West New York of a deer actually behaving absurdly. Two men are walking in next to a field, a crop line. I think it was corn, whatever it may be. And all of a sudden they stop and they go, wait, look, there's a buck. And they're looking. They're not hunting. They're just walking along. And the buck stops, turns its head at them, and there's a crude barbed wire fence dividing them and the deer. And as the deer turns, you could see it's missing an antler, which is very strange for this time of year, for a deer to be missing an antler. They're not fighting. They're not aggressive at this point. For a whitetail not to have a full-grown adult deer not to have an antler was a little strange. It probably says there's some malnutrition there, which is, again, kind of funny because we're standing next to a cornfield, you know, and we're looking at nothing but corn. And the deer actually turns and walks towards these two gentlemen and kind of puts its head almost on the barbed wire fence. And the guys actually walk over and touch the thing. It was almost heartbreaking for me as an animal lover. I know I'm going to get an email now. Oh, animal lover, you kill animals. How do you love animals? But I am, and I have a lot of respect for the white-tailed deer. It was almost heartbreaking to see this deer in the condition it was in. It was fully nutritioned as far as its body weight and its body mass. It looked great. You could tell it was an old deer. It was a fuzzy video, so I don't know, maybe eight years old, somewhere in that book, but which is, as we know as hunters, old for a whitetail. And nice mass on its antler, the right antler. Like I said, the other one was missing. And these guys actually walked right up to the deer, were touching it, were looking at it, and the deer stared straight ahead. And as the video ends, I just thought to myself, my first thought was, well, a lot of stuff could have been going on there. I mean, you know, it could be a head injury, the antler's missing, maybe the deer got into a struggle, bashed its head, and now has some kind of, a terrible brain injury and really doesn't know what it's doing. It might have just happened, but there was no blood on the deer. Otherwise, it looked healthy. And then my second thought was, no, wait a second, deer don't fight this time of year. They're just kind of loving life. Food is in abundance. They're not worried about mating yet. They're living their life. Temperature's starting to get cold. Everything's great in a whitetail's life. I thought, wait a second, this is bad. A well-fed deer acting strangely. It's got to be chronic wasting disease. And that's why we're going to talk about that today. Because we have to really be able to identify, the symptoms, we'll call them, of chronic wasting disease. And eventually, you know, the chronic wasting disease will get to the deer. He'll basically starve out based on, you know, what I call behavioral weirdness in the deer. He just will not be able to survive in the wild any longer. And it's a disease that affects, it also affects elk. Next week, my guest, Mr. Peterson, is going to be live with us. We're going to talk a little elk hunting. I'm not a big elk hunter, being from New York State, obviously, but it affects, the chronic wasting disease will affect deer and will affect elk. Basically produces lesions that form on the animal's brain. Like I said, you'll see loss of weight. You'll see other deformities in the body of the animal, the overall condition of the animal. You might see bald spots. You might see the deer losing its ability to walk, just its neurological functions. And then eventually death sets in just for the fact that it's unable to survive in the wild. Very similar to something I'm sure, even if you're not a hunter, you're familiar with. We had a scare, I don't know, a bunch of years ago, the mad cow disease. It's very comparable to mad cow disease within the wild game environment. So basically, it's caused neither by bacteria or virus, but something called prions. I'm not a scientist. If you listen to my show, you know I'm just a dumb kid from Long Island doing a show. But these are basically infectious proteins that the deer ingest. And once ingested, they spread throughout the body looking for certain acids that are contained within the deer's brain or the elk's brain. And that's where they make camp, causing these lesions and obviously leading to problems with the deer being able to survive. It's contagious, highly contagious. It's always fatal within the deer population. And research, you ready for this? Research suggests that humans, cattle, and other domestic livestock are resistant to natural transmission. While the possibility of human infection remains a concern, it is important to note that there have been no verified cases of humans contracting chronic wasting disease. True enough, because it hasn't been a big problem yet. I would be under the assumption that, like a deer, if you consumed these proteins, these infectious prions, that sounds good, man. That would be the name of my band if I had a band, Infectious Prions. That would be cool. But if you consume these infectious prions, you would end up with some problems within your life. And that's basically the point of the show today. I want to talk about this and make sure we understand what we could do as hunters, how we can help, how we can prevent it, or how we could identify it. And if we do identify it in an animal, either just a deer that we observe or a deer that we have killed, we need to get it. I'm not a big government guy, but we need to report it to the authorities as soon as possible. The Department of Environmental Control, the DEC, here in New York State, is actually one of two or three government agencies that I will actually support. So I have no problem calling them. Any good hunter should have their phone number in their pocket. Any problems arise when out there in the woods, you need to call them. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the what we could do. What do I want to call this? Maybe when we come back from the break, we'll call it frequently asked questions about chronic wasting disease. And we'll just go point by point and talk it through, so we're making sure we know exactly what we're talking about. All right. I can't believe this. This is my first break of the new season. You are listening to the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network. Talk to you in a few minutes.
And you're listening to Hard Bodies here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hi, we're the Fleshtones, and you're tuned to heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Chad Pagano, and you are listening to the Wild Game Domain. All right, so we're talking about CWD, or chronic wasting disease. It's a serious matter, especially for the hunting community, for you animal lovers. Even if you're against me, let's team together on this and solve the problem. So, you know, like I said, let's go point by point. You know, it's important for us to understand how this disease spreads. And guess what? Just like a lot of things, we don't know exactly how CWD is transmitted. It's definitely an infectious disease. It's definitely passed in a few ways. They know for sure feces, urine, and saliva. Isn't this great? First day, I'm angry talking about feces, urine, and saliva. And as we know, deer are a beautiful, majestic creature, but they do lick each other. They do rely on urine to identify each other. So there is definitely some contact with certainly urine and saliva. I've never heard someone could call or email me about deer eating their own feces. I don't think they're one of the animals that do that. But definitely the urine and saliva are going to be a problem. It's known as lateral transmission. I just learned that the other day. And basically what that's a fancy term for, one animal can give the disease to another animal. They don't know. The other kind of transmission that could happen is called maternal transmission. That's when the mother gives it to the fetus. All right, now I've said feces, urine, saliva, and fetus. So I'm doing all the uncomfortable words today on the show. This is awesome. They don't know for sure. They think it may be passed on to the fetus within infected mothers, but no one's sure. There is an incubation period of about 16 months in deer, which is almost perfect, because if it is transmitted maternally, that's bad news, because it's going to just, you know, lay in incubation for 16 months. And really, that's when the deer is very inactive. I mean, that first year, it starts to get going. But by 16 months, man, you have a fully developed, functioning deer ready to take its place in the wild. And that's just when the CWD will show its ugly head at that point. CWD, the agents, these prions, these proteins, they're extremely resistant to the environment. So, you know, like I was saying, you know, direct infection is going to occur within this disease. So you have one deer within a herd with this disease that ends up with this disease, it could spread rapidly. So concentrating, you know, when deer are concentrated together, or, you know, for that matter, we are a food-related show. You know, what about deer in captivity, farm-raised deer? Those deer are held in close quarters. If one of these deer end up somehow with chronic wasting disease, the likelihood is it's going to pass throughout the herd. It's going to affect a lot of those deers. You know, also within that, if an animal has chronic wasting disease or a deer has it, these prions are going to infect pastures, other sources for the deer that could infect them. The movement of the deer themselves is one of the greatest risk factors in spreading this disease to new areas. You know, we all know as hunters, or if you don't know, the male buck deer, the male deer is capable of a huge amount of movement. He might cover an 8 square mile area, and that's humongous within deer. So not just the herd within his area, you know, as he branches out, young bucks are going to branch out and look for their own territories. The disease, the natural movements of the deer are going to contribute to the spread of this disease. The spread of CWD between, and this is where it gets a little scary for me, the spread of chronic wasting disease between captive deer and wild deer is being debated right now. Evidence suggests on one side that chronic wasting disease has spread from captive elk to wild elk in some instances. It hasn't been proven, but if that's the case, then you just open up a whole nother avenue for these deer to interact. How can that happen if you have an elk in a cage and an elk in the wild? Well, farm-raised elk are generally in areas where elk are wild, and they're going to intermingle. If you have elk in a penned area, farm-raised, that doesn't mean you're not going to have other elk moving in, especially during breeding seasons. Aggressive males from outside the farm-raised community are going to show up to want to see what's going on and stake their claim to that area. So it gets a little iffy there. The next part I want to talk about is can livestock get it? And cattle and other domestic livestock within this country appear at this point, and this was their word, appear, the DNC and some of the other groups. I accessed a site that it was really informative called the Chronic Wasting, or an organization called the Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance. You know, it's probably one dude sitting in his apartment, but he's an alliance. But he had a lot of great, or she had a lot of great information. And at this point, it appears that our livestock are resistant to this natural infection. There are absolutely no reported cases of the transmission of CWD from infected elk or deer to domestic livestock. And again, you're saying maybe you're not an outdoors person. You know, we're not just talking New York. What about Midwest? Cows are grazing, deer and elk are amongst them. So, they do work side by side out in the field. And if that ever happened, then we would have a huge problem to be discussing. It would be completely different. So we know livestock probably can't get it. They probably would have had a case of it already, so we're off the hook. Now, here's the big question. You ready? We got the livestock thing out of the way. Here we go. Can humans get CWD? All right. Yes. Yes, they can. You can get it. Mad cow disease. Let's do it this way. Scientists try to compare chronic wasting disease with mad cow disease. But the diseases are different in some really distinct ways. There is no evidence that chronic wasting disease poses a risk to humans. Okay, but no, that was a quote from my research. Notice how they put that, right? There is no evidence that chronic wasting disease poses a risk to humans. So let's rephrase that. Yes, humans can get it. There's no threat for it. There's very little threat, but you can get it. Public health officials recommend that humans that are exposed to CWD or the agents of CWD, these prions, these proteins, infectious prions, be avoided as they continue to evaluate themselves to see if they have it. So basically, they can't solve the problem if you end up with this. So how can you end up with it? You come in contact with deer urine. That happens. Right? You're cutting open your deer after you kill it, right? Don't tell me, don't lie. Let's be honest. We're hunters and we're honest people. When you're cutting that deer open, deer urine occasionally gets on you. Deer feces occasionally gets on you. Don't tell me the saliva of that deer hasn't gotten on your hands as we are field dressing our deer after the harvest. Contact with all the transmitters that spread it within the deer population can possibly spread it to humans. Now, the World Health Organization has reviewed all the available scientific information and concluded that currently there is no evidence that CWD can be transmitted to humans. So that's the World Health Organization. That's good. They did a really big study in the 90s, between 97 and 99, I believe it was, three cases of a disease called CJD, and I'm using the initials because I can't pronounce it. It looks Hungarian in some way, occurred in the U.S. in young adults. These individuals had, you ready for this, consumed venison. This led to speculation about the possible transmission of CWD, chronic wasting disease, from deer or elk to humans could be possible. Since then, they've reviewed it. they've looked back at it and they don't know if it's really possible. This is what they call a casual link. For me, it's more than that. I eat a lot of venison. I am going to completely make sure that my venison is clean and that the deer that I harvest this season is free of CWD. If I have any doubt, if I see any problems with that deer, I am not consuming it. And you say to yourself, you know, you sustainable hunters, like myself, sustainable hunters, we think, you know, we always have to eat, we kill what we eat. We eat what we kill. Well, not at my family's, you know, not at the risk of my family's life. And at that point, even if I don't eat it, I've taken a sick deer out of the population. But health and wildlife officials advise caution. Hunters, us, the community, are encouraged not to consume meat from animals known to be infected. If you eat a deer you know has chronic wasting disease, you're a jackass. You know, that's interesting. I just remembered this. I should throw this in, but we're going to go off topic for a second. Humans are getting dumber. They've proven that in my research in that, you know, and I talked about it a little bit because people in Brooklyn don't know how to park, right? So we've already discussed it. That means they're getting dumber. But what's happening is because of modern medicine, because we're just good at it now, we keep people alive. We keep dumb people alive. People that do dumb things stay alive for longer periods of time, right? So if you eat chronic wasting, a deer infected with chronic wasting disease, you might live, right? And then pass your dumb gene on to your kids, and then they survive. And we're just getting dumber. In the old days, dumb people used to just die. They got hit by cars. They fell off buildings. They did dumb things. They ate infected, disease-ridden animals, and they died. Don't eat a deer that you know has chronic wasting disease. Like I was saying, don't even... If you're unsure, if you have any doubt in the back of your head, you say, I don't know, this deer was acting a little strangely before I shot it. It actually came up to me and gave me its hoof before I killed it. That is a deer infected with chronic wasting disease. Put it out of its misery and call the DNC or the Department of Environmental Control. And that's our responsibility. Wow, that went quick. I think I'm almost done. Great for our show. Sorry for all the negativity. Listen, you're not going to get chronic wasting disease, so relax. Get out there and enjoy the outdoors. Just be aware of it. It's another thing that avid outdoorsmen, I don't care if you're a hunter, if you just go hiking and you see a deer acting weirdly, it's our responsibility to report it. It's our responsibility to let the authorities know so they can take this deer out of the population. If you see anything stupid, your neighbors feeding deer, this is a problem. You know, when we do mass feedings of deer, you see your neighbor putting out big bags of corn in his backyard so he could watch the deer come in. They're beautiful things. This is stupid. That is not how deer are supposed to eat. So the deer all come into one pile of corn. They're eating the corn. Their saliva is being exchanged. Now, the one deer with chronic wasting disease has infected the 13 deer eaten off of the corn pile. So, you know, let's do the right thing as responsible outdoorsmen and hunters. Well, I did it. Another 30 minutes. Thank you very much. I didn't even have time to talk about our guest. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to surprise you. It is a guy, Google him, named David Peterson. Google spiritual hunter, David Peterson. The guy's brilliant, and you're really going to enjoy the show next week. He's an avid hunter, elk hunter, author of numerous books, exploring, you know, the whole idea of quote-unquote sacred game. And I really appreciate where this guy's come from. I'm going to have him live next week for a great interview. Thank you. Welcome back to the Wild Game Domain. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and you're listening to the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.